everybody, and welcome to Book Hype. I'm Brittany, and today I'm joined by co-host Kristen and a very special guest, Aaron Watt, a.k.a. guests, Elle Kennedy and Jen Frederick. How is everybody doing today?
Good.
Pretty good.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, yes, no problem. We're really excited to have you both here and able to talk to us. It's been kind of a scheduling craziness over the summer. This is actually our episode back from a little bit of a break. We've been traveling and we've got Comic-Cons coming up, so it's nice that we were able to get our schedules aligned with you guys as well.
Well, we're glad to be here.
Awesome. So we're going to dive right in and talk about what we've been reading or what we wish we've been reading but have been too busy to read. So let's kick it off with Jen. What have you been reading or look forwarding to read?
Well, my friend Mel, who's one half of the collaborative author Alexa Riley, recommended the book Inseverable by C.C. Robinson. I kind of been in a book slump, and she said it was really a cute romance. And it was. It was very different for me because the heroine was very different. She was this girl, young woman. She had just graduated from college, and she was at her parents' home. I want to say it was in North Carolina or something like that. And she was with some friends. They all were lifeguards at the stretch of at a beach and a resort. And she ran into this guy who had come back from the military, who had been suffering some severe PTSD, and she just falls in love with him right away. And she is relentless in her pursuit. And it's really amusing because she basically tells him that he's going to fall in love with her and she'll be patient for him to come around. And so it was just, you don't see a lot of heroines like that so assertive with so much agency. And I really enjoyed that.
I think I've seen that one recommended quite a bit recently. So yeah, that's on my TBR. Haven't gotten to that one yet, but it looks good.
And what else? Anything else?
Well, I have books on my to-be-read list. My daughter just started reading Sarah Amasa's series, so I had to go and buy her books 2 and 3 today. And I have Jennifer Armentrout actually recommended that I read this series. She said it was super good. So I want to read it so that I can talk to my daughter about it.
That's great. I've been reading books with my niece this summer, so I really like reading along with her and seeing what she takes away from them. So that'll be a fun discussion to have. Elle, what have you been up to or hoping to get into in the future?
Honestly, I wish I had more time to read, but I have been writing a book. So the last thing I read was Lorelai James's Unbreak My Heart, which is the new adult spinoff, I guess, to her Rough Riders series, which is super sexy. And that was a fun book. And then other than that, I haven't read anything.
We get that. Every time I come on, it's usually the other hosts have paragraphs of books. And I'm like, I read The Dust Jacket of a book I've been meaning to read for 5 years. And that's about it.
It's really hard to find time sometimes, but I'm going to the lake tomorrow, so I have 3 books to take with me. I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah. I read a lot of legal thrillers, so I got a whole bunch of Michael Conley books. I'm going to read those, and then some historical romance.
Very cool. I hope you enjoy all of them and get some nice rest and relaxation.
I hope so.
So I have had a couple of vacations in between Book Hype episodes, which has been nice because I finally got to sink my teeth into some books. And the first one I read has been on my list for a while, The Portable Veblen by Elizabeth McKenzie. It's about a newly engaged couple, and it kind of flip-flops between their point of views, and there's a lot of like deep-seated resentment and family issues and stuff. And it wasn't really what I was expecting it to be, but it was a great read. I read it on the beach in one day, so that was a nice break. And then My guilty of guiltiest pleasures is that I love the Bee Gees. I own every single Bee Gees song that's ever been in existence. And a book by Jeff Apter, The Tragedy, The Ballad of the Bee Gees, just came out last month. So I ran and picked that up and devoured it in a day. And I haven't read much on the Bee Gees in book form. And this was just, it was a great read. The only other really in-depth biography is like 600 pages, so I have never touched that just because it's ridiculous. But this was digestible. It was only like 400 and pictures, and it was great. I've been rereading Harry Potter ahead of The Cursed Child, which I'm seeing in a month. And so I'm all the way through books 1 through 3. It's been amazing. Still love them. I'm excited to get onto 5 because that's my favorite, and gotta struggle through 4 first. It's my least favorite. And then I read an elementary novel from the TV show by Adam Christopher, and I didn't like the first one he did, and I really hated the second one he did, Blood and Ink. It just, I felt like he does not understand the characters the way that I like to see the characters from the TV show, so I don't know if I'll be reading any more adaptations from the show at this point. I didn't even finish it. It was really disappointing. I was so angry all the time that I was reading it, and I was in Mexico, and it was beautiful, and I was just frustrated reading this book, so I left it in Mexico.
Well, hopefully someone else enjoys it.
Yes, I hope so. I left it in like a community area, so I'm like, someone will pick this up and read it on the beach, and they'll love it. It'll be great. But Kristen, what have you been up to?
Well, I have, it looks like a list, but I'm lucky. I type orders for a living like 8 hours a day. And so I get to listen to audiobooks, which saves me because otherwise I would have like very little time to read. So I've gotten through quite a bit recently. Since the last time, I've read even more than what I've listed, but these are my favorites. Bittersweet by Serena Bowen. It's the first one in her new new True North series, and I can't wait for the second one. That book was fantastic. I read Good Girl by Lauren Lane, which is a standalone. It's kind of, she's grouping all of her standalones together, but I loved Blurred Lines, which was the first book in the like standalone trilogy, and Good Girl was really, really good fun too. I didn't love it quite as much, but I still really, really liked it. I read First and Goal by Kata Kuick, who is a brand new author on the scene, and she's actually in a writer's group with me on Facebook, so it was kind of fun to see the whole process from kind of behind the scenes. She had given us a few little like snippets here and there, and you know, we kind of encouraged her through some downtime and trying to get her first book out there, so it was really, really fun, and she's got a... The whole group, minus me, because I wasn't able to get my selection put together, is actually putting out an anthology. I think it comes out in like a month or so. And she's got a short novella about these characters, like from the end of the book, that I'm really excited to dive into because she left us on a cliffhanger and it was really crazy. But First and Goal is set in high school. It's about a girl and a boy who, like, stumble into each other like their first day of high school, and they're both really kind to each other, and then throughout the years things like changed around them to change them, and they never really reconnected. But then like their senior year, you find out that he's always kind of harbored a crush for her, and you know, he's trying to get up the nerve to kind of talk to her, and it's really cute. But I really, really enjoyed it, and it was a really good debut novel for her, so I'm excited. I also read Culty by Mariana Zapata, which was amazing. It's a really long listen. The audiobook is really great. But it's based in the soccer world, and she's a professional soccer player, and he's a retired professional soccer player that comes to help coach, and like he's a total jerk at the beginning, and you really just feel like this is not going anywhere. But it ended up being a really great book. I will probably listen to that one again very soon because I really enjoyed it. The last two that I'm going to talk about, I read the entire Covenant series by Jennifer L. Armentrout, which I love her books, but I still haven't read her most popular series, the Lux series, but I hadn't read the Covenant series either, so I needed to get through it, and I loved it. It was so, so, so good, and now I can dive into the spinoff series with Seth. So I'm really, really excited about that. But for anyone who hasn't read that series, it's been out forever. It's kind of set in like a Greek mythology kind of world, but it's in contemporary times. And it's about like half-bloods and purebloods, which are descended from like demigods. So they're not demigods, but they're like underneath them. So they have some godly blood, but not a lot. And humans still exist in that world, but they're, you know, contemporary society still exists, but it's kind of separate. So yeah, it was a really fun series, though. I really, really enjoyed it. And it took me a while, so that's good, because I have a lot of time to waste. And lastly, I read/listened to Listen to Me by Kristen Proby, and it's in her new Fusion series. And I really, really enjoyed that book. I've read some Kristen Proby before and haven't always loved it, but I really like where she's going with the new series. So I really, I'm excited. I know her next book comes out in August, so I'm looking forward to hopefully diving into that sooner rather than later. Oh, I'm done.
Wow. That is very intense.
It's been a long time since we last did this, and I read more than this, but I, you know, cut it down to the ones that I was like, these need to be talked about.
I was gonna say, I appreciate you cutting it down. We would have been like, okay, and that's time. That's
I know.
We're gonna kick off this episode with a little bit of book bits. We're going to talk about since adaptations like really are all we talk about when we have news episodes or, you know, BEA episodes. We love talking about adaptations, and we like to hear what other people are enjoying in the adaptation world. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite adaptations, old, new, either from movies, TV, video games, whatever it is. And let's kick it off with Jen. What are some of your favorite adaptations?
My favorite adaptation would have to be Anne of Green Gables. I felt like the girl who played Anne Shirley was Anne come to life. And while I didn't love Gilbert, I've never thought boys with curly hair have been attractive. I still thought that he did a very admirable job as playing Anne's foil there. And Diana was wonderful. And it just remains so true to the series. It rivals the actual books for me in terms of enjoyment and rewatchability and authenticity. It's definitely my favorite. And then my family and I watch a movie every Friday night. And so last night we watched Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland because my daughter is a big Potterphile, and she was searching for movies with Bellatrix, played by Helen Bonham Carter. And Helen Bonham Carter is not in a lot of PG-rated movies, but this was one of them. And so we watched that, and it was actually visually just gorgeous. The story that they told wasn't bad at all, but visually it was a wonderful set.
Yeah, that movie is gorgeous, just from start to finish. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's really, the visuals are stunning. So yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. And Elle, what are your favorites?
I just watched an adaptation that I absolutely hated from the same author of the adaptation that I absolutely love.
Oh, please share.
I'm a huge Stephen King fan. So Shawshank Redemption would be my absolute favorite adaptation, short story, and then the movie. They're just both absolutely brilliant. Usually his books make for okay movies or TV shows, but I just watched the Kennedy miniseries for 11/22/63, and I loved that book like so much, and I hated the adaptation more than anything else in the world. So yeah, I don't know. I think they're really hit and miss. I love most Nicholas Sparks adaptations. I usually actually find them better than the books.
I've found that too in the past. Like sometimes I really enjoy the movies, and I haven't read all of Nicholas Sparks' books. So I know what you mean though. Like I read A Walk to Remember after seeing the movie, and I really love the movie, and I'm not so sure about the book. So I definitely know what you mean.
You know what? I never, ever watch the adaptation before I read the book. Even if I know it's coming out and I really want to see it, I'll read the book first, always.
I usually try to do that, but yeah, sometimes I'm not so good about it.
You know what, though? I didn't enjoy A Walk to Remember either, the book, but the movie, oh, I cried my eyes out.
Yep.
Cries at everything, so I don't feel like that's a very good standard for whether the book is any or the movie is any good.
That's true. I cry in comedies and in action movies and in anything, really.
I am a big stickler for reading the book before the movie, and that's actually how my daughter started reading Harry Potter, because she wanted to watch the movies, and I refused to let her watch the movies until she read the books. And so she would read the book, and then we would watch the movie. And it took place about 3 summers ago. It was just a lot of fun.
Jen, did you make her read The Hunger Games?
She actually she read the first book because, you know, I have some strong feelings about the ending of that series. She read the first book and had no desire, and she saw the movie with her father, but she had no desire to read the second and third. And then she started Divergent, and someone told her the spoiler of what happens to Triss, and she stopped reading Divergent 2/3 of the way through. She refused to finish it. She won't read the series. She's like, what's the point? So she's a very, she's a very big believer in the happy ending. She wants the happy ending, and she loves books about girls. We were in the bookstore yesterday, and there was a book, a figure, like a hooded figure with like a sword, and she picked it up and she read something and I put it back on the shelf, and I'm like, is that a boy on the cover? And she's like, yes. So she doesn't want to read about boy assassins, only girl assassins.
That's amazing. I still haven't seen the final Hunger Games movie because I just felt like the series got so dragged out, and Divergent, I feel the same way. I just cannot believe how much is left of the movies to go. But I was also very disappointed in the final book, and I was like, why did I waste my time reading this?
Really? I still haven't read Allegiant. I meant to, and then everyone was so depressed about it, I was like, oh boy. So I still need to read it, but it, yeah. Bad reader right here.
That's how I feel about the George R. R. Martin series. Like, the first 3 books in the Song of Fire and Ice series were amazing. And then book 4 wasn't so bad, but book 5 was, like, terrible.
Oh, no, Jen, I disagree. Book 4 was the worst thing ever, and book 5 was the most amazing one.
No, book 4 was book 5 was terrible, but I thought book 4, the reason I didn't like books 4 and 5, not just because they were so slow and nothing happened for, like, I don't know, hundreds of pages. But I felt like he was taking, especially Dany's character, and totally diminishing her agency. Like, she had none, you know. It was just, she would have bad male advisor after bad male advisor. And I just felt like, okay, we can't ever see her make a decent decision on her own. I feel like, I don't watch the HBO series, but from what I've read, it looks like the writers are really diverging from his a vision. And I actually had a long email debate, not even a debate, because the person agreed with me about how I don't feel like the female characters that they have in, as they're depicting in the television show, are actually what Martin would have ever written. Because I don't feel like he envisions women in those particular character molds. And he might have been able to write one woman that way, but I couldn't see him writing all of these women, all these empowered women. And I definitely think it's in reaction to the public's criticism of how they had portrayed them in the original arcs.
No, I think that the best thing they could have done was to go off book, because now the show is amazing, and they're going to end it too. I'm excited.
Yeah, Martin's never going to. And I feel like he can't write. He can't end it now. I mean, already he's blocked, right? Or whatever he's doing. Who knows what he's doing? But they're already going to finish the story. It's going to be, if he writes a different story than what is already written, his work is going to be criticized and compared against this derivative work. which as a writer, I think that that would be very frustrating. So from that aspect, I think he just thinks in his mind, maybe not even consciously, the series is finished. And that someday is never going to come for him of completing the series.
Well, I don't think he can ever write a satisfying ending that will, like, that someone would find satisfying. There's always going to be people who are going to hate it and compare it.
I definitely agree with you. Like, first of all, I am still halfway through book four and cannot finish the fourth book. So I'm with you there, Elle.
Isn't it the worst?
It's so bad. I can't get through it. I kind of put it away for a while to see if maybe someday I can get back to it and really enjoy it, but we'll see. So I haven't even started book five, but I do think that the show has really picked up this past season and has kind of taken where he kind of left us be and has really done a great job with keeping Dani in charge of her own agency. Like, she's been doing so much, and it's not, you know, at the advice of this person or this person. Like, she's been making decisions. So yeah, I see what you mean with him not necessarily writing female characters the best, and the ending, yeah, I don't know if he'll ever get to an ending people are happy with, especially when compared to the show that has now eclipsed him. So it's craziness. George R. R. Martin. Oh boy. I have to say, one of my absolute favorite adaptations is Pride and Prejudice. The Joe Wright adaptation that they did just a couple of years ago that got a lot of Oscar attention. I love that movie. I love the soundtrack. I love the casting. There's so much about that movie. I've watched it a million times, and my roommate has not read Pride and Prejudice or seen any adaptation of it yet. And she also writes for Hyperbole and is usually on Book Hype, Karen. And I'm hoping that, like, once she reads the book, because she wants to read it first, that I can show her that and be like, isn't it so good? It's amazing. Like, I love that movie. I mean, there's so many adaptations out there to love, but that's one that sticks out in my brain. I just love it.
And I'm on team show her the BBC version first, but we can argue about that at length another time.
Yes.
We've been having this discussion since Pride and Prejudice and Zombies came out, so it's been a long time. No surprise to anyone who has ever listened to me talk on any podcast, especially Book Hype, my favorite adaptation is Elementary's adaptation of the Sherlock Holmes novels, but with a special place in my heart for the Jeremy Brett adaptations, because those are closer to all of Conan Doyle's written word. Elementary does their own thing. It's all modern. It's incredible. But Jeremy Brett's, if I'm looking for line by line from Conan Doyle, that's the one I'll go to. I love Sherlock Holmes. I'll watch anything that's adapted from Sherlock Holmes.
As you discussed in depth when you talked to Brittany Cavallaro a couple of episodes back.
Yes. It was so nice to have a fellow Holmes enthusiast on.
Yeah. All kinds of Sherlock Holmes goodness. All right. Well, moving on from adaptations, let's talk a little bit about the royals and the creation of our two geniuses here. My first question that I just have to know, did you always intend for Broken Prince, or the second book in the series, if it may have had a different title, to be from Reed's perspective? Like, I know that when we started Paper Princess, like, you guys had always said it was Ella's story and it was very much her story. But did you intend for it to be from different perspectives, or was it always her story and this was just kind of something that came up?
No, I feel like the readers would get bored if they didn't have Reed's point of view. I mean, his influence in her life, it is her story, but it's her story with the royals, and Reed is the most important royal to her.
No, we knew right from pretty much from starting Paper Princess that the second book was going to have Reed's point of view. And the entire time we wrote the first book, we were just so excited and we're like, we can't wait for the second book. We can't wait for Reed. So yeah, that was the plan, like, right off the bat.
Very cool. So you were both really excited to dive into his head. Like, how did he present any specific challenges, or was it just really just, yeah, let's get to it?
Writing Paper Princess happened so fast. Like, it was 3 weeks, right, Elle, from start to finish. And our edits for Paper Princess were really light. So we had a really clear vision of the story we wanted to tell in Paper Princess. And the overarching arc of the three books, we knew what pieces we wanted to use and where we wanted to stop and start the book. And each segment, I guess we could I don't know that it really was three books to us, but really one long story, and we're taking three books to tell that story.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Very cool. Okay, so we know Paper Princess was told from Ella's perspective and was her book, and Broken Prince is Reed's. Feel free to just plead the fifth. I understand if you don't want to give anything away. But is Twisted Palace like going to be a third perspective, or is it probably going to be one of theirs or both of theirs?
Okay, well, you will see Ella's point of view, and you will see Reed's point of view, and that's all I'm going to say. Jen?
Yeah, that's all we're going to say at this point.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. I don't want you to give anything away. I understand. Just curious. Okay. So I was lucky enough to interview you guys back in April via email, which was really, really fun and really cool. And there was a lot of love for Easton, and I was just curious if since then you guys had had any ideas or were really excited and were thinking about doing a story for him or anything like that.
Oh, I definitely want to do a story for him. He's my favorite character. We've actually been running some plot ideas back and forth, and I know what I want to do. I don't know if Jen is going to let us.
Yes, I think I can confidently say that we're going to write at least one, if not two, books about Easton. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
The Easton fangirl in me is dying right now because I love him so much, especially from Paper Princess. He's so much fun, and I'm really glad to know that we've got more Easton coming down the pike. Even if, depending on what happens in the next two books, we've still got even more coming down. So that's amazing.
Yeah, what I definitely agree. Oh. Reed was oh, yes, I need to pay attention to Reed, I need to pay attention to Reed. What's going on with Easton? I kept feeling drawn to him, and I am really looking forward to learning more about him, so I'm glad you guys are as excited as the readers are about expanding his story a bit.
Did you guys like him in book two?
We have not read book two.
Yeah, we haven't read book two.
Oh.
So we literally can't lead you down scary paths because we don't know what happens yet.
Okay, yes. Well, we'll be careful not to say anything because we don't want to ruin it. But we will say that there is one particular character in Broken Prince that we both really love as well and would love to write a story about him as well. And we actually ended up cutting out some of the most amazing scenes from Broken Prince that included this character because they just didn't fit anymore. And we didn't want to include them just because we love this character so much, but they'd be good outtakes.
Special bonus things maybe someday for pre-orders or something like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, there is one particular scene that we were just like, can we fit that in anywhere? And we couldn't. And we thought, we'll have to publish it someday in some format because it's just such a fun scene.
No, we'll definitely find a way. It's too good not to share.
I'm even more excited. Jeez. Okay, cool. Very cool. In addition to Easton, you just talked about this mystery character who I cannot wait to find out who it is. Were there any of the other characters in the book that you have kind of grown attached to that you're thinking maybe someday we'll see a book from them, or is it basically Reed, Ella, Easton, and mystery guy?
I don't know. I think our plan right now is just really finish Twisted Palace. We have some other ideas and that we want to write, and then Easton we're looking at sometime next year.
Very cool. Very cool. So you do have other projects planned for Erin Watt past the Royals and the series itself? Are there other ideas floating around there too?
Oh, absolutely. We do have another book coming out with Harlequin Teen next year. It's unrelated to the Royals, but it's equally fun. I don't know if we're allowed to say stuff about it.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I think we can say we have a 2-book deal with Harlequin Teen, and the book that's coming out next spring, we don't have a publication date. The book is done, but we don't have a publication date because that's how traditional publishing works. You know, they plan their publication schedule a year in advance. So it's about a bad boy pop star who hires a normal girl to clean up his image. And she's real reluctant to do it, but she does it anyway. And it's a different, it's different in tone from The Royals. It's a kind of a more sweeter YA story. And then we have a follow-up book that we'll be publishing through Harlequin Teen. So Elle and I plan to write together for a long time. We just love the process and we love writing together.
Yeah, I don't think I can write alone anymore.
It's hard.
Well, that's awesome. I'm very excited about this because, I've read books by both of you individually, but I have not, you know, like this. I have been kind of new to this whole two-author system thing, but it seems to work really well because I've also read Him by Elle and Serena, which I loved as well. So, it seems like it's kind of refreshing and fun to work with someone new. I've seen that from a couple of different pairings now. So that's awesome. I'm really excited to read the rest of them and dive into the things after The Royals. Cool. Yeah, Very cool.
Yeah, this all sounds really incredible. And I'm glad you two found each other because I'm enjoying what's coming from this partnership as much as you guys are creatively.
Yeah, I think our brain has merged into one because now if I have an idea and then I email Jen to tell her, she's like, oh, I was just thinking the same thing. That's exactly what we're going to do.
That is amazing. So we're going to wrap up our episode by doing a little bit of royal matchmaking. So it's part fan fiction, part mystery dating game, where we have a bunch of princes and princesses that have appeared in various adaptations or just in pop culture in general. And we'd like to think of who they would be better fitted for or worse fitted for than their counterparts on screen or in literature. And so we've prepared a sample list of a bunch of different princes and princesses ranging from people from, you know, Game of Thrones to Ella Enchanted to Frozen and Marvel Universe. Kristen, do you want to kick it off? And I mean, do your dream pairing?
I mean, I can. My roommate Karen and I were sitting around trying to come up with something fun to kind of end this episode, and this whole idea kind of kicked around in my brain, and I haven't really like picked one yet. But I think, let's see, I put together a couple of lists just to kind of give ideas, and I think that it would be really interesting to see, like, Legolas and Sansa Stark together. First of all, they would make beautiful children. And so that would be a house, whether you are in Legolas's world, like whether you were in Middle Earth or whether you were in the Game of Thrones universe, either or, they would have some pretty interesting adventures. If they were in Game of Thrones, like, I can picture him, you know, standing on top of Winterfell, like taking down enemies from miles away. Like, that would be so cool. But he's, you know, he's kind of quiet and he's not as intimidating as some of the men that she's had to deal with in the Game of Thrones universe. So it might be good for Sansa to be with someone a little gentler, a little less intense. And, you know, I think they'd be pretty equally matched. She's pretty witty. So I think she could, you know, keep him in check.
I like that pair.
Yeah. I
think Wonder Woman is supposed to be with Batman. Isn't that the fan fiction? Like, my friend Mel Jean Brooke, I don't know if you know her publishing story, but it's actually kind of neat. Mel Jean is this amazing fantasy author. She wrote The Iron Duke, which is a steampunk series, and then before that, kind of a demon, guardian, angel series. But she was discovered when executive editor for Berkeley of Division of Penguin was reading her Wonder Woman Batman fan fiction. And so the story goes that Cindy emails Mel Jean and says, "I really like your fan fiction, but could you write anything original?" And Mel Jean, of course, thought it was a hoax because, like, what? How does that? That never works, right? And after she figured out that she wasn't being gaslighted, she's like, "Yeah, I could try." And so that was how she got her publishing deal. So in my mind, I guess Batman and Wonder Woman are supposed to go together, and Batman, I guess, is like the Dark Prince of Gotham.
Hey, that's
fun. Hey, that works. That's so cool. I think Karen talked about. I'm trying to remember. I remember reading about Iron Duke and how she was discovered just recently. And I haven't like had a chance to read her stuff yet, but it was brought to my attention really recently, and I thought it was really cool sounding and all that. So that's really, really awesome.
Oh, the Iron Duke is amazing because the story is that the Horde, which is this group in Asia, kind of based off of Genghis Khan, but it's fantasy, or steampunk, so it's an alternate universe, introduced these nanobots into sugar. And then as the people around the world imported the sugar and then baked their goods, they would swallow these nanobots. And then the Horde built these radio towers. And then once all the radio towers were erected, they turned them on and they were able to control people based upon the radio waves and the nanobots inside of the people who had eaten the sugar. So Iron Duke is about is actually just right after the revolution and how he was actually the person to have destroyed the radio tower in London and then helped to free the British people.
That sounds awesome. That's officially going at the top of my to be read. I need to write, you know, move that one up a couple of pegs. Yeah, like that sounds so cool.
It does. The more I'm looking at this list, I keep wanting to pick Prince Eric because he's my favorite Disney prince. But as I'm thinking about that, he's probably the worst Disney prince because he falls in love with someone who cannot communicate with him, and so he's basically just falling in love on beauty alone in this vision of someone saving him and whatnot. So I think I would pair him with Anna from Frozen, who does not shut up, and see how he would fare dealing with her, because I don't think he would last very long, and she's very independent and flighty and wants to do her own thing and jumps to action, and, you know, I don't think Prince Eric could handle that. So it would be really interesting for me to see how Prince Eric could cope with someone who's instantly, like, very beautiful, but also really intense all the time.
Wait, is Prince Eric, he's from The Little Mermaid, and he gets a boner at the wedding? Or, wait, hold on, can I say boner on the podcast?
Yes, you can say it. Yeah, he's from The Little Mermaid.
Okay, oh, I hate that guy. I don't want him with anyone.
I think Anna would torture him, so could be a little fun.
Yeah, he'd be following her, like, as she's having adventures, he'd be, like, worried and, like, following her, making sure things are okay. Like, I could see him kind of just trying to clean up her messes, which would be hilarious.
Yeah, but then he would just call, what's his name, Grimm to do it because he's useless.
Yeah, he's a prince. What are you talking about?
See, I'm looking at this list and I don't know, like, half the people.
That was my biggest problem. I was like, I know Prince Eric and I know Anna. I know Aladdin, but I don't know who to pick him with.
Oh, I was trying to pick, like, common ones. Man, I'm not good at this.
What about the guy who plays, or the guy Viggo Mortensen plays in the Lord of the Rings series?
Aragorn?
Aragorn. What about Aragorn?
I don't want him with any of the people on this list.
Well, who would you put him with?
Obviously myself.
The Princess of Elland.
Okay, if I had to pick, I would pick Thor and Wonder Woman, because that sounds like it would be super hot together.
Oh, and you're merging the Marvel and the DC. That's pretty crazy. I like that.
Oh, it's a forbidden romance.
There
people
you go.
From different franchises, they're not supposed to talk to each other. Elle loves the forbidden romance.
I really do. I really, really do.
That sounds amazing. That would be like something I would go see. I don't really watch any of the DC movies, and I've just this year started watching Marvel movies, starting with Civil War, which was a mistake because I had no idea what was going on. But yeah, I think that would be amazing.
I love Thor, but I don't like comic books or comic book movies, so I would not see this movie that I have outlined.
Hey, that's all right.
All right. Yeah, that pretty much wraps up our conversation for today. Thank you both for taking some time out of your busy schedules to come and talk with us ahead of Broken Prince's release. It comes out July 25th. I'm looking forward to reading it. I know Kristen is, and Jen, everyone on here, because we read Paper Princess for one of our book hype books. So maybe we'll do Broken Prince as well.
Well, we're super excited to have it released. It just seems like it's taking a long time. I know readers feel like it's been a long time, but it's a long time for us, too, because we want the book out there.
Well, and it's funny because it's only been a couple of months, but it does. It feels like it's been forever. So, yeah, it's exciting, though. It's good. I'm excited. It's going to be a good book. I can just tell.
I just hope you guys don't hate us after you read this one.
Oh, boy. We were actually afraid that we wouldn't be able to redeem Reed after we read so many comments about how much they hated him after Broken Prince.
I mean, I read a lot of romance, as you could tell from my has read this week list. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just easily convinced. Like, I knew there was gonna be a way. Like, I was like, somehow, some way, they're gonna be able to bring him back around. Like, maybe I'm just used to guys kind of being a jerk sometimes and having to prove that what they did was not who they are or whatever. But I have seen a lot of comments, so I know what you're talking about, you know, people who are like, how is it possible that we could ever come around on him? Like, this is a horrible. So yeah, he's a complicated guy, it seems, and I can't wait to dive into his head, so should be fun.
Yeah, it's a minefield in there.
Well, thank you again, and we'll be back, hopefully, on a much more regular schedule with Book Hype episodes now that things have sort of calmed down, and we have a lot of Comic-Con preview stuff to get through, and then Comic-Con itself, so we have a lot of exciting end-of-summer things happening. And yeah, we'll talk to you all soon. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
no problem. Thank you so much. Yeah, bye, everybody.
Bye.